Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to unleash your creative spirit now? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Art and Soul Radio, where today Catherine and Cheryl will inspire and empower you to embrace your creative potential. They'll take your calls, answer your questions, and explore creativity in lots of areas. And now, it's time to get more creative with Catherine and Cheryl.
So, this is Catherine and...
Cheryl, welcoming you to Art and Soul Radio to inspire...
encourage...
and empower your creative process.
And celebrate your creative spirit.
Woohoo!
Yay! Cheryl, what's been going on with you this week? I know you're busy with your class, right?
Oh, yes. I love my art abundance class and my art assignments, I tell you, Catherine. This has been so fun. Something I'm playing with this week is what I call pivoting words. And it's really helpful, you know, to shift energy. And it's fun to choose another word. So if you're feeling like teary or bleary or weary, you can choose instead to feel cheery. And you just shift it.
Say what?
Okay. If you're feeling teary or weary or bleary, you simply pivot and shift and choose to feel cheery. Cheerful.
Okay. Yeah, right.
So, and it's an immediate, I mean, just, you know, it's immediate. It's amazing. And
wow.
It's like, oh, okay. So I've just been playing with words.
It's about choices that we make every day. Right?
Yeah, it's about choices.
Right?
Yeah, and it's about following the energy and seeing, you know, how you're feeling, and do you want to feel that way or do you want to feel better? You know, sometimes we like to wallow in our stuff, but then it gets old after a while. And I think it's important too, to acknowledge any what we call negative feelings or low energy feelings, I think is probably a more descriptive, and just say, oh, wow, I'm feeling really sad right now, you know, and maybe it's important to feel sad. But if you're really ready to shift the energy, you can do it playfully, and that's what I'm learning about. And I have my first practice coaching this week with my group, so it's going to be fun. I look forward to sharing more and more. I'm learning a lot.
I'm excited for you. It's really awesome what you're doing. It's great.
Well, thank you. And how about you this week?
Well, I'm starting to get ready. You know, I have that show at Dragon Fire in Cannon Beach at the end of the month with two other artists, and they're going to help promote my peace project. I am so excited, Cheryl. I can hardly stand it. So I am doing some more peace works, peace weavings with the words of peace from around the world. And Gloria will be down there, and my large robe of peace will be down there. So Fred and I will make a couple trips to Oregon this month to get ready for that show. And it's good. I can see an upswing happening in the galleries that I'm in. Things, we're feeling more hopeful. It seems that things are starting to shift, and it feels good. It feels really good. I'm excited.
Oh, terrific.
So, week, I'm giving I got a grant last year, and I'll be giving a talk to, it's the Art Association in Kitsap County, and I'm going to be giving a presentation of what I did with their money, which was materials to help me produce all new work for the invitational show I did in La Conner. So that'll be fun. And, you know, it'll be a good experience for me standing up in front of people and talking about my artwork. So,
well, yes. And they can see that their investment is working.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Now, is the Cannon Beach show at the Dragonfly? Right?
The Dragon Fire Gallery in Canada.
Oh, Dragon Fire. Okay,
yeah.
Now is it all a piece show, or is just your piece there?
Well, it'll be two other artists, too. There's I can't remember their names, but I'll get it before that time. There's a jeweler that's going to be showing her work. The whole town is awesome in Canada Beach, and each gallery takes turns at unveiling their special artist for the event. And it's all timed. And so people can go from one art gallery to another all through the town. And at certain times, my work will be covered up. It'll be unveiled.
Hey, and I need to correct something. I just called your art stuff. We never use those words, stuff or junk. Those are bad. Those are not positive producing words. So how is your art?
It is
not your
wonderful
stuff.
You know, and I'm having a great time, and more of the galleries are asking for specific pieces, which I think is great. We're working on pieces that we know are favorites of people's, and we're focusing on that. Even though I love to design, and but you know, it's shifting with the energy and shifting with what's happening and thriving, right? Thriving. It's another one of your words.
Thriving. Instead of strive, you choose thrive. You got it. Yes. Well, you know what? We better get it going here because let's just let people that are listening maybe for the first time that we want to share a few quick tips for easy listening. We want to remind you that our show is live, so any boo-boos you hear are authentic, and it is also recorded for leisurely listening later. And all of our shows can be listened to in three different ways. You can listen here at Blog Talk Radio, on our Art and Soul Radio homepage, or you can subscribe via iTunes with every show delivered directly to your computer, or you can download an MP3 of the show and listen on your iPod or MP3 player.
And if you'd like to ask a question over the phone, you may call 1-917-889-2163 at any time and press the number 1 to let us know you have a question. You may also ask questions online in our chat room. To do this, you first need to register with Blog Talk Radio with a name and password. You may chat during the live show by clicking on the show title on our show page, and it will take you right to today's show. So scroll down the page, and the chat is under the show description. There you can interact with other listeners and us.
Yes, and today we're launching our April theme, Artists Connecting for Success. All three of our guests on today's shows are passionate about helping artists connect with resources and people they need to be more successful. And we're going to be talking with Jonathan Talbot, Robin Koldozin, and co-creators of the Arts Map, and art biz coach Allison Stanfield.
So our first guests are internationally recognized teacher, author, painter, collage, and printmaker, Jonathan Talbot, and collage and mixed media artist Robin Kolod. Okay, Robin, you're going to have to.
Kolodzin.
Thank you.
Kolodzin. Hello. Kolodzin, yes.
But today they're here to focus on their recently launched co-created online website for artists called The Arts Map. We first met Jonathan in a brief interview for the Smartest Telesummit in January, and at that time he mentioned he had something big he was collaborating on, which he'd let us know about later. Sounds like this is it, right? Welcome to the show, Jonathan and Robin.
Thank you for having us.
Welcome.
Yes, thank you so much.
So can you tell us when and how the idea for the Arts Map first came up to you? Was it together or did you connect later?
No, it was something that happened together. Sometimes ideas can't happen unless all the ingredients are there. You know, the bread won't rise without the yeast, but the yeast without the flour doesn't work either.
Right.
And
right.
We're both collage artists, and we met through collage, and we communicated well from the very beginning. And it really only took two meetings, one in New York and one in Massachusetts, and a few emails for us to come up with the concept of the art.
So to me, it feels like you're both very passionate, right? Robin, you're passionate also about what you're doing?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, kind of like the theme of your show, those connections in the arts community are what feed us as artists. So the purpose of what we're trying to create here is to create connections between artists and their customers and audiences, between artists and arts organizations, artists with other artists, and art lovers to all of the above.
You know, this is Catherine. I have a question for both of you. You're seeing a change happening, right? I'm seeing a change happening because of the internet and social media. Is that part of what's happening with the Arts Map, too?
Well, I think to some extent there's a change. You know, the ways in which art was traditionally sold, some of them still exist. You still can go buy $30 million paintings at Sotheby's. You still can go to New York galleries and buy artwork. Less galleries than there used to be, but you can still go. But there are a whole bunch of doors opening up. I don't think Etsy existed 10 years ago. People can reference us, those of us who are artists. The public can reference us on the Internet so easily. They can find out what we're doing. They can see our work. And the Arts Map is a natural outgrowth of that.
You know, Catherine, it's a great question. I think I'd add to that. What I've heard from people who I speak to is even though there's all these social networking options on the Internet, a lot of artists either aren't familiar with them or aren't, you know, necessarily up on how best to take advantage of them. And so one of the reasons we created this, and, you know, some of the people who are finding it most helpful are people who don't have a presence on the Internet already and people who really just want a central place to find out where other artists are and what they're doing.
Oh, right. I've already connected with somebody who bought some artwork from me.
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah. So,
and we're hearing
the benefit of it. And, you know, I'm thankful to you because I'm finding some people that live in my area that I didn't even know were here that are artists.
One of the things about the Internet is that it tended to remove us from our geographical base, but geography is still a factor in many people's lives. We still go to the local supermarket to buy food. Very few of us buy our evening meals over the Internet. And I think that the Arts Map acknowledges the fact that geography is a part of our life. And despite the Internet, geography will continue to be a part of our life.
Charles, do you have a question?
I was just thinking that's one reason the meetups have been so successful throughout the states. I know they have over 500 a week here in Seattle, and it's because it's geographical, but it's all geographical to certain areas. And people enjoy connecting with people who are interested in the same things. It's
right,
just
they enjoy connecting not only by email, they enjoy showing other people their work in person as well as over the Internet.
Well, that's what the meetups are about, is
yeah, exactly.
In person. Yeah, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Well, I'm wondering, Jonathan and Robin, I think we need to let our listeners know a little bit about how this works. Do the listings cost money?
Robin, you want to tell them the good news?
Sure. The good news is no, basic listings on the site are free, and they'll always be free for artists, nonprofit organizations, museums, and some others. Listings are free for 1 year for for-profit galleries and art supplies and services so that they can assess the value of it for their business. And after a year, there'll be a modest fee for those sort of for-profit entities.
But for artists,
and then,
for artists
once
it's free.
People...
Yeah. For artists,
I'm sorry,
free.
Jonathan.
That's okay. For artists, it's free. It's that simple.
Good. And then...
Forever and ever?
Well, basic listings are free. Any artist can have a free listing, and it will remain free forever. Mm-hmm. And it will. And new people who come on can also have free listings forever. There are, at least as long as we're controlling the thing, as long as we're running it. No.
Right.
It's free.
And isn't it important, too, to let people who are just in the business of art, no, people who work with artists, people who supply the products and the services for artists. I mean, it's not just for artists and galleries. It's for anybody involved in the arts.
That's true.
Absolutely.
But those people, we hope, since they are profit-making entities, we intend to ask them for some money after they've found out that the Arts Map works for them.
Yeah.
But we don't intend to ask artists for money unless artists want to take advantage of what we hope will be some extra features which we don't have yet.
Okay, Robin, you're the technical person, right? So can you give us any hints?
Sure. Well, some of the new features that we plan on adding are for sort of premium listing, which, as Jonathan said, doesn't exist yet. We want to be able to offer the ability to have events listed. So, for example, workshops, openings, performances, this sort of thing. And then they would also be visible on the map. So, for example, if you are going on traveling somewhere, you'd then be able to say, all right, I'm going to be in New York on these dates. What's going on? You know, what's
great.
That doesn't mean you can't put in your own listing at this time, you can announce that you're going to have an opening somewhere. But if your listing is located in Poulsbo, did I say it right? On Bainbridge Island.
Poulsbo, yes.
Yeah. That's where your pin will be. But, for example, I lead workshops around the country, and I would love to have the ability to have a pin for each workshop.
That'd be
worth money to me, because I make money at the workshop, so it wouldn't be bad for me to pay for that. And so that's what we are talking about when we talk about having the ability for artists to list a number of events. They'd have individual pins on the map. And that won't be free.
In addition to that, we're talking over each other here. I was going to say, in addition to that, there'll be some other things like, you know, right now your personal, you know, detail page, your profile page, you might want to pass that around, but the URL, the address, isn't very pretty. And so we'll offer the ability to have, for example, Catherine be the artsmap.com/Catherine would get her profile page. That's going to be another aspect of premium listings. So there'll be a number of things like that that we hope will make it really appealing to people.
So I have a question for both of you. Have you been contacting galleries and things like that? I would love to. I keep hinting to the galleries that I'm in, you know, to please get on the map. And they don't quite, they're not there yet. How do we get them on there?
Well, let us say, I think, Robin, and tell you, and that you'd agree with me, what we've mostly been doing is working to make this thing work.
Yeah.
This is a big project in terms of the software which has been written to run it, in terms of testing that software, in terms of modifying the user interface, how the software interacts with you or anyone else who makes the listing. And while I think that there are some hundreds of galleries who've signed up on the map at this particular point, we haven't been making a particular push in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly we've been trying to get the map firmly standing on 2 feet, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious. How long it took you all to bring it, you know, to where you could actually get it up and running. How long did that take?
But don't tell them how. Don't tell them we did it overnight, Robin.
We didn't. Please. We worked frantically and furiously for a number of months to get the basic site out there. And, you know, you'll see when you go there, we still consider it a beta site, meaning that it's not completely ready for prime time because it's still very new and tender. And we invite people to let us know if they have any problems using it because we're really committed to making it the best possible experience. But I think your question raises a really important point, which is about getting the word out there. And what we're going to really put our trust in is people who are listening to this show and other folks out there to pass the word to their networks, to their galleries, to the, you know, especially to other artists they know, to arts organizations, to anyone who's interested in it. It's really going to grow through word of mouth. Yeah, I think that's the main way.
Well, it has grown at this particular point. Hold on. While we're here, I'm going to check on exactly how many people the Arts Map has, how many listings the Arts Map has, because I can't say people because some of them are galleries and stuff like that.
Okay.
At this particular moment, the Arts Map has 2,984 listings in 57 countries, which is a fairly good beginning.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So it's a fairly good beginning.
Okay.
We have no idea sometimes how people in Tunisia or Croatia or Sri Lanka found the Arts Map, but they did.
Right.
And we're hoping that, you know, by midnight, with a little luck and the listeners to your show, that we'll be over 3,000, which is like a little bit of a hurdle there.
On your Facebook fan page, you have over 3,000 people.
Yes,
we do.
It's a curious thing to us that people become fans of the Arts Map without creating listings. But maybe some of the fans are art lovers as opposed to artists. And we haven't entirely figured that out yet.
Yeah, that could be. Well, you know, I was just thinking if everyone who's listening to this, you know, interview now and also later, if they would just go in and to every art group they belong to every fan page and just say, hey, you know, this is where to be. It would just be viral. It would just really take off.
It would be wonderful for us.
Yeah, and, you know, all they have to do is post.
on that note, let's mention, you know, where they go is www.theartsmap.com. So, yeah, that would be a wonderful thing.
ARTSMAP.com. And to create a listing, all you have to do is click on Create New Listing in the upper right-hand corner of the page. That brings up a form, which is called Information for Public Display, and you fill out as much information as you would like the public to see about you, yourself, or your arts organization, or your gallery, or your studio.
Mm-hmm.
And then you click Proceed to the next step, and you get a chance to see how your listing will look on the Arts Map.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go back and edit it, or you can accept it as it is. And then when you're satisfied, you move forward to the final step, which asks for some contact information. When you've supplied that information, you click Create Listing, and the pin pops up, hopefully in the right place. And your listing is done. Nowhere does it ask for any billing information. You don't need a credit card number. You don't need anything like that.
And also, you actually don't have to put in your street address. You could just put the city you're in. You know, we really are aware that not everyone's going to want to put their street address there if they don't have a home studio, this sort of thing.
Yeah,
so we made it as flexible as possible.
But if you don't put your street address in, the map is likely to put your pin in the middle of town. So that, you know, at the crossroads or, down, you know, down by the general store or in Times Square if you happen to live in New York. You know what I mean? Because the map needs it. The information to place the pin in an exact location. It needs a street address.
Okay, this is something I have a question. Okay, so you said that, I mean, can I right now, for my show that's going to be at Dragon Fire in Cannon Beach, can I put a pin up for that?
We haven't got that yet. That's something that we're working on as we speak. So that's sort of an advance.
Yeah, if you do before the end of the month.
We will, Catherine. We'll certainly let you know.
But you could ask, tell, is it in the gallery?
Yeah, it's in Dragonfire Gallery in Cannon Beach, Oregon.
Well, if they don't have a listing already, then you could ask them to make a listing, and I'm going to tell you right away whether or not they have one, because you can search on the on the map by location, and so I'm searching for Cannon Beach, Oregon, and I spelt it wrong. There must be two N's.
C-A-N-N-O-N, yeah, Cannon.
Okay,
Cannon.
So Dragonfire does not have a listing. The nearest listing to Cannon Beach is in down by Garibaldi, which is a little bit way down past Manzanita.
Well, you know what? That whole town is art. The whole town.
Well, we've got, and that's an artist. So you've got to get them to make a listing, and then they can put your show up.
Okay.
You know, I think what's really exciting, the possibilities that this is creating, are a real grassroots sort of connectedness in the arts community. There are other solutions out there that, you know, try and, you know, have some sort of directory of artists, this sort of thing. But number one, they're not as geared for individual artists. And, you know, they're not necessarily geographically based, as we talked about before.
And also, it's very hard to search by medium. On the Arts Map, you can search by medium, so that if you only want to see glass artists, you can tell the Arts Map by just clicking a box. If you want to see glass arts, or you want to see collage, or you want to see traditional watercolors or something, and soon, and actually this is sooner than events, you'll be able to search by subject matter. Let's say you want to find somebody who did paintings of boats or horses or something like that, and you'll be able to search by style, whether it's highly realistic, whether it's abstract, whether it's impressionistic. All of those things would be available too.
Okay.
Wow. So I love setting it, as a collage artist, I love setting it just to collage artists. You know, I take everything else off except for that. And it's just amazing what people are doing all over the world in their studios, right? Privately alone, working away, and it's just very exciting to see.
Yeah. Well, I think some people might not understand, too, that I love, it's kind of like when I'm checking on MapQuest, you know, until you've been to the site and seen it, that, you know, it just zooms right in, and I can almost see my house. Not quite, but it's pretty darn close.
Yep.
It's like, whoa.
What we envisioned was that collectors and people who love art might be going to a new part of the world. Let's say they were going to Cannon Beach, and they'd never been there before. and they didn't know what there was to see or where they could see it. And they were particularly interested in, let's say they're interested in painting. So they would go to the arts map, they'd click on painting, and they'd go to the Cannon Beach area, and they'd see all the painters. They wouldn't have to wade through jewelry if that wasn't their interest, although they could reverse it. They could just see jewelry and not see painting. You understand. But there would be a way to see what was available to them, to see studios that they could visit as well as galleries. I mean, one of the big things was that we realized that many of us, even in our own communities, are invisible.
Mm-hmm.
Our neighbors don't even know we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And they go buy their artwork over in the next town when they could come next door. You know, and we thought that this would be visible. There's also a sort of interesting implication that's come up with the arts map, and that is that can you imagine when the arts map becomes more populated that you go in to visit your state representative in Congress or in the state Senate or something like that, and you're looking for the state to put more money into the arts, and the representative says to you, well, you know, how much arts are there?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can just click on the arts map and show them.
Yes.
And I think it's going to be
good.
It could become a very powerful
good.
Tool
yes.
for generating funding, for impressing upon the people who lead our country that the arts are as important as some of us believe they are.
Exactly.
You know, we grew up in a country, in the United States, we grew up in a country which was founded by people in big black hats who didn't believe in pictures. And it's an uphill battle.
You know, one of the listings that was exciting to me was seeing an artist in Haiti. Now, someone, I think, posted it for him.
He posted it himself, Robin, but he posted it from the airport. He posted it after the earthquake, and he posted it from the airport, and he wrote something about all his work was gone, but he could make more or something, you know?
Yeah. I think there was actually an organization that was helping him with that, but nonetheless, it was important to him to get it on. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Well, boy, time sure flies when you're having fun, I tell you. Well, Jonathan and Robin, why don't you share again the ArtsMap website and just another brief reminder of our listeners how they can get their listings created and invite others.
Okay. The website is www.thearts.com, and listings are generated by the users themselves. We don't make the listings. Your listeners make the listings. You just click on Create New Listing in the upper right-hand corner of the page and fill out the form, and then because of all the wonderful programming that Robin has done, it all happens just like that.
Wow.
Yeah. And also, we'd like to encourage your listeners to follow us on Facebook. They can see if they come to the same website address, they'll see a way to follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. You know, the Facebook community, there's a lot of good chatter going on there. It's a nice way to kind of have a conversation around what's going on in the map and different things you see there as well.
I like the
terrific.
Way that you welcome new people on. That was really nice. I like that.
Thank you.
We're
thrilled that they've chosen to participate. The Arts Map is about inclusion. It's not about exclusion.
Right.
We've had, out of 2,984 listings, we had one which was inappropriate.
Mm.
Wow.
So that was really good.
That's terrific. Well, thanks again for joining us. And
thanks
listeners.
So much for having us.
Catherine, thank you very much.
Oh,
you're very welcome,
Robin, We're delighted to have you on the show. Thanks for coming on, and let's get that going, right?
Yeah.
Thanks, folks. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm spacing out here. Oh, is it my turn? Cheryl?
Yes, Catherine.
Okay, thanks so much for joining us. You're listening to Art and Soul Radio. If you want to call in and ask Allison, our next guest, any questions, please call 1-917-889-2163. So we are continuing our theme of artists connecting for success, and today we're talking about blogging.
Right. So our next guest is Allison Stanfield, the Art Biz Coach, and Allison is dedicated to helping artists make a better living, and her book, I'd Rather Be in the Studio, The Artist's No Excuse Guide to Self-Promotion, is a bestseller among artists and galleries, and I've heard nothing but raves about the book. She's taught thousands of artists around the world how to promote their art more effectively. But today, Allison is here to talk about the importance of connecting with existing and potential customers through blogging. Welcome, Allison.
Hi.
Hi, welcome.
Oh, it's good to have you back.
Glad to be here.
You know, Allison, this might be a little basic, but can you just give a basic description of a blog? For maybe there could be listeners who really don't know what a blog is.
Well, there might be listeners who think they don't know what a blog is, but if they spend any time on the Internet, they've been to a blog. A blog is basically a website. A blog is a website that uses a particular platform that makes it easy to post and, you know, without knowing any code. And so, and the reason that they will have been to a blog before is because search engines love blogs, and usually if you search for anything, a blog is the first thing to come up. So you've probably been to a blog even if you don't think you have.
Oh, wow.
More and more they're looking like websites, regular websites, right, Allison?
Yes, thank heavens. They're better looking now than ever.
Yes, yes. Well, Allison, when did you first discover the power of blogging for artists in particular?
Wow. Well, first of all, let me be really clear that I am by no means an expert in blogging. I don't like to call myself an expert in anything. I'm still learning and growing. I've been blogging for 5.5 years, and I'm one of those people that, because of the nature of my business, because I'm in the business of advising artists, I think I need to try stuff before I tell them how to work it. So I was very early in the blogging. Well, I mean, lots of people were blogging before that, but as far as art goes, I was very early in the craze. Let's call it a craze. And I would say that it doesn't happen overnight. I tell people over and over again that it took me 6 months to figure out what blogging was all about. It really didn't get it. I didn't understand what the big deal was. And I didn't understand, mostly I didn't understand what my blog was supposed to be about, what it was, what its focus was. And I think that just through being consistent and also learning and listening and watching others, I finally got it. And I think that I learned, I mean, I immediately caught on with artists. And I think that I have brought a lot of artists to blogging just because of my blog. And what happened in the beginning of my blog is I would post a blog post, or I'd post something on my in my newsletter, and people would email me back instead of posting their comments on the blog. And so it was this process of teaching people how to use the blog. Like, gosh, could you please leave this comment on the blog so that other people may benefit from your insights? And I still do that. Not as much anymore, though, now. People are more familiar with the format. But also, I also started doing all my online classes on blogs, which was it's scary for some people at first because they're like, oh, no, I don't know how to blog. But most of the people that didn't have blogs before my classes had them after the class because they realized how easy it was to use an interface and connect with other people through a blog. So I've used them all sorts of ways, and it's been really fun to see artists come to blogging.
Well, I've been very resistant to doing it, and I'm looking forward to your class.
Catherine, I'm so glad to have you in the class.
I'm looking forward to it, Allison. It's like, help, I need help.
Maybe we better tell people what we're talking about.
Yes, I think that would be good.
So I teach a class with Cynthia Morris, who was my personal coach that helped me write my book, coached me through writing my book. And Cynthia and I joint teach this blogging class called Blog Triage, because we noticed that a lot of artists, well, not just artists, but people in general, kind of, they start a blog because someone told them along the way that they needed a blog, so they start it, and then they don't know what to do with it, so it kind of sits mm-hmm. there. And have you ever been to a blog where, like, the last post was December of 2008? You know,
oh, yes.
It was a long time ago, and you don't go back there, you don't even read it, because it doesn't look up to date, it doesn't look interesting. So we noticed that a lot of artist blogs were like this, and in blogs in general, we thought, well, maybe we could help get artists excited and enthusiastic and, you know, feel the love of their blog again, for their blog again. And mm-hmm. that's what we teach in the class, and that's what Catherine's talking about. We really, you know, we teach writing, you know, how to write better blog posts, how to be more confident. Well, we can't really teach that, but we want to make the blog better looking and
mm-hmm.
get people comfortable with more comfortable using it, and better mm-hmm. organized for their posts. And
right.
we want to bring you more readers, and that's
mm-hmm.
what everyone's looking for. So,
yeah.
Well,
you know, Allison,
well,
you know,
Allison, go ahead, Catherine.
Well, when I first started using Facebook and Twitter, I was on overload. I was like, oh my gosh, here's, you know, and I'm sort of feeling that way about blogging, you know,
yeah.
too. It's like, oh, it's something else I have to do. So I'd like to be, I'm looking forward to somehow making it fun for me to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you on Facebook and Twitter before you started blogging?
No, I think I started blogging before, but it was kind of like the person who had it months ago.
Right. Well, I think that it's really important to be interested in blogging and excited about it. And it's hard to feel that way if you don't think anyone's listening, if no one's
yeah.
talking to you, if you're not
yeah.
engaging people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is why it takes like the 6 months. there's that window where you're kind of like gaining momentum in the rhythm. So I really encourage people who like to write and who like to engage people in conversation to stick with it. And most of all, if you haven't already, to start a blog immediately, because everyone that starts blogging and starts enjoying it just kicks themselves for not starting it sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a question for Allison?
Well, no, I was just going to say for artists that blogging is also a perfect alternative if they're a little leery of setting up a whole big website. If that seems overwhelming, you know, you can set up a blog for free and it gets your visibility out there. It's a good beginning. And, you know, you get to share what you're doing in a very authentic way, in my opinion, because some artists think, oh, I don't have the money to hire a webmaster and all this stuff, and blogging is so easy for people to do. I think it's a wonderful alternative.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
And we haven't even mentioned it, but images. It's a great way to get your
mm-hmm.
images online. And even if you don't like to write a lot, if you're at least posting your images and telling, you know, a few short sentences about them, at least you're getting your story out there. And
mm-hmm.
as you said, Cheryl, you can do that for free or relatively cheap. And
yes.
and another thing we didn't mention, it gives you control, too. Because even
mm-hmm.
if someone sets up the blog for you, even if you have it highly customized and they set it up, it's really easy to add a title and the content and a couple images
mm-hmm.
and push publish.
Mm-hmm.
No,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to know code
mm-hmm.
to do that.
Okay,
right.
Well, this is Catherine. I have a question about the search engines. With blogging, does it help with the search engines then for like artists to have their images show up like in search? Or I'm confused on how search engines can help artists with blogging.
You mean how blogging can help artists with search engines?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I want to make sure we're on the same page.
Right.
So, I am no expert, but search engines like sites that are active, that are updated, that have new material, that are linked from other sites and to other sites. So to search engines like sites that that are relevant.
Okay.
And so as your static website can just sit there and look pretty and you can show it up as a portfolio, but if you're adding and changing and moving and linking, search engines are going to like that a lot. And, and this is much easier to do with a blog than not. Now, it's not the images, because search engines read words, not images, although I think that's changing a little bit. But if you tag your images, if you give your images titles and so forth, then the search engines could read them. So it's not the images per se that do that.
On your newsletter today, I read something interesting. You mentioned about putting your name with all of your images.
Yeah. Isn't that a new concept?
Isn't it
amazing? It is amazing to me how many, this especially happens on blogs, not so much on static websites, but on blogs, artists post image after image and never put their name or title or medium or size or anything with that image. And, you know, I can look at it and like it, and then I find out that it's 3 inches wide and it wouldn't all go where I thought it would in the house. So maybe you can help me out a little bit. And the other thing about keeping your name with your image, you never know where people are going to land on your blog and how they're going to get to a post. So your name might not show up right away. Always keep your art with your – always keep your name with your images. It's like I said in my newsletter today, I think that's what you're referring to, is you wouldn't hang your art in a gallery without your name and title next to it, so why do it on your blog?
Good point. Well, what do you think is the biggest mistake that most artists make on their blogs, Allison?
Well, you know, Cheryl, I am glad you asked me that because I had anticipated that question. And I think probably the biggest mistake that anyone makes with their blog is inconsistency. It's kind of like that, I'll post in December and then again in March. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the reason to have a blog is to build traffic. I mean, that's the main reason to have a blog. Otherwise, just have a static website and update a news page every other month or something. But blogs are where people expect to go and find something new. So if you go there and I see that you're updating it like just once or twice a month, it doesn't look very active. I'm not going to bookmark it. I'm not going to subscribe to your feed. Probably not going to tweet about it very much, and we'll lose interest pretty quickly. That has nothing to do with what your art is at all. It has to do with how, you know, much it's going to keep my interest. Having said that, the second biggest mistake that artists isn't even on my list, but I should have put it on there, is that they don't post images of their art. Sometimes I go to an artist's blog and I can't find their artwork anywhere. It's amazing to me that they don't have a page or Flickr pages with all their images so that I can just go one place and see all their artwork. You know, you can't expect people to scroll through all your old posts just to find what your work's about. You got to give us your work up front. And I really think artists should post their artwork with every single post.
Okay, I have another question.
Yeah.
What is then the value of doing a newsletter versus blogging? Is it better to do a blog than a newsletter, or is it good to do both?
Oh, that's a great question. There is value in both of them, and there's. The reason is because it's always best to mix up your marketing. So, and I assume that's what you're talking about here, build interest and sell your work. Okay.
Right.
So some people aren't going to subscribe to a blog feed. They're not going to, you know, remember to go back to your blog site and look at your work. And they might just prefer to get updates from you in email every so often. So that's where the newsletter comes in. And, of course, your newsletter should be driving traffic to your blog always and vice versa. But I think that it's helpful to have both. I think if I were starting out, I would definitely start the blog first because you want content. You want to build content before you start telling people about your blog. So start the blog first and then add a newsletter. Figure out a way to make the newsletter a little different. I'm doing that more and more with mine because I also post my newsletter on my blog, but I'm trying to differentiate them more and more right now.
Right. Oh, Allison, this is Cheryl, and this is kind of something I've noticed, and it happens quite often with artists, and it's not just their blogs. It can be their websites. It can be their social media, is they don't put a picture of themselves or a picture you can recognize them. They either put a picture of their art or they put a picture of them in a group so you don't know who they are. Can you explain how important it is to for people to be able to see who you are? When I go to a blog and check on about, I like to see a picture there of the person. There's something personal about it to me.
Right. Well, there are a lot of artists out there who came out of this kind of old school academic mentality where you show the art, not the person behind the art. If you go to some high-end galleries, you don't even see, you will never see a picture of a gallery director there. I mean, they're trying to show off the art, not faces. And it became, I think it was Art News, I can't remember, one of the major art publications that first started putting pictures of people on the cover, which was, I think, a big scandal at the time. And then I think that American Craft started doing it. It's really been interesting, this culture of celebrity. But having said that, I mean, social media is so new, and these people are kind of torn between two worlds. I think it's really nice to see someone's face because, especially in social media, and blogging is a social media, it is so much friendlier to look at who you're talking with. You don't have a conversation, well, some people do, with a piece of art, but you do have a conversation with a person. And so, you know, looking at someone's eye has a lot of value. It makes you friendlier. It makes you a real person rather than hiding behind something. That's also why it's important to use your name in social media rather than a DBA or a username.
Right. I think a lot of artists do hide, Allison.
Yeah.
What do you think?
A lot of artists hide? I think there are a lot of artists who are, and this comes from years of experience in this business, who aren't comfortable yet with calling themselves artists. And so they hide behind another name, and they hide behind a business name. And there's nothing wrong with this, there's nothing bad, but that's their level of comfort.
Not only that, they hide. I see pictures on Facebook and Twitter where it's a tiny little person. You can't see their face at all.
Right. Well, that's just a bad picture.
It's like, I really want to see what they look like.
Well, I encourage you to give them a break, and they'll learn. And, you know, for some people, it's just being around the block a while. And they'll learn, and they'll change the picture, and then they'll change it again and change it again, and they don't look anything like you thought they did the first time.
Updating pictures is also a challenge. You know, you just think, I've got to go get another picture taken. Why don't I just put this up, and it was taken 15 years ago. that's what happened to me, but it was fun. And everybody said, we like your new pictures. So, well, Allison, you know, we're getting close again. We have about 5 minutes left or so. Can you just maybe give a few tips on ways maybe that people who have an existing blog could jazz it up a little bit? You've talked about a lot of things, but maybe some definite things they could do to get the energy going again, I guess, besides posting more often.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about looks first. Looks are important for visual artists, and that's really important to remember that your blog is there to show off your art, not like how well the designer does or not your favorite colors or anything. It's there to show off your art. So everything is subservient to that. And a lot of times artists say, I love red, so I'm going to make it all red. Well, that doesn't make your art look good necessarily. It makes your eyes vibrate when you see the screen. So show off your art as if it were in a gallery. That really means light color backgrounds, dark text. I have a real bias against black text with black backgrounds with white image.
It's
too
to
harsh for most artwork, and it's impossible for me to read. So I actually go to a blog that has a black background and I leave. I don't ever spend time on – I just can't. I just tell them, I'm sorry, I can't.
Yeah, I agree.
So pay attention to that. As I mentioned, use your images with every post. Make it easy for people to find your artwork. So put your images with every post, but also group them in some way. If it's a link to Flickr, your Flickr portfolio, if you have a page, if you use WordPress, although I know Blogger does this now too, and you can have a static page with all thumbnails of your images, do that. It's great for people to be able to see it all at once. This is especially true for artists that don't have their own websites.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to link better. There's a lot of bloggers out there who don't know how to link really well. And if you think about blogging as building community, about making friends, because that's really what you're trying to do, is you're trying to talk, to create a dialogue with your fan base. So you're there to start a dialogue, but you also have to continue it. You have to respond to comments, you have to comment on other blogs, and you have to link to other blogs and link to your blog posts within your blog. I mostly link to my own blog posts because I have so many of them to refer to, and I'm often referring to things I've written about before. But it's so friendly to send a nice ping to someone else's blog, and then they come over and comment on your blog, and then they tell people to go over and comment on your blog because they've been featured on your blog. I mean, that's what blogging's about. That's about it's about building friends, building community, and keeping those relationships up. So make really good links, and by links I don't mean http://www. I mean relevant text links. So that you're linking to artbizcoach.com with the words art marketing. That's really good for me. Art marketing coach or something, that if someone linked to that rather than artbizcoach.com, because people think about linking as what people search for. Mm-hmm. So make a link using a search term rather than a URL. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yes.
That's a big mistake that a lot of bloggers make, because it doesn't help anyone out, it doesn't help you out if you're not linking to good search terms. And I mean genuine search terms. Don't make something up just to, get people who are looking for Viagra to visit your site. But yeah.
Well, Allison, I just got a visual too. Social media is kind of like meeting for a cup of coffee at Starbucks or something. But a blog is like sitting down in a restaurant and spending a little more time with people.
But they're not exclusive. They all work together.
Yeah.
And you have a blog, and you tweet your blog posts every so often, because you don't want to promote your stuff solely. You want to promote other people. So you tweet your blog posts every so often. You have it fed through your Twitter and Facebook accounts, and it's all linked together.
Well, Allison, do you have any spaces left in your upcoming workshop?
We have a few more. It's amazing. We usually are sold out by now, but we have just a few more. We limit it to 30 people because it's a super interactive class, and I really encourage people who want to fix their blogs, who are really ready to do the work starting Wednesday. I mean, you can't put this off any longer. You're ready to fix up your blog, to get some help for it. I encourage those types of people to look at the class. That link is – do you want me to give you that link?
Definitely.
The URL is artsbizcoach.com/blogtriage. blogtriage.html.
Okay.
And it's, so it's for people who have been blogging, who already have a blog. We don't teach you how to start one. But people who are already blogging and, you know, maybe have lost a little of that love for their blog,
mm-hmm.
are there to help you get it back.
Wow. Well, you know, Allison, you said something. I liked it when you said the six-month mark, because I had a blog a couple of years ago, and I had a lot of fun doing it, and I did it for about 5 months, and then I wasn't getting the, you know, the feedback I wanted and all, so I quit after 5 months. And if I'd hung in there another month or so, it might have been a different story.
Yeah. Well, you hang in there a different month, but then also learn to use it. I think one
mm-hmm.
of my things is I read as much about blogging and how to engage readers and how to, you know, link better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's really important
yeah.
to know.
Yeah, yeah. So it's the bigger picture. It's seeing how everything can work together.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Well, wow.
Thank
I can't
you,
believe
Allison.
We're.
I know.
Yes.
So fast. I know. Well, Allison, we'd like to have you on again about something else.
So you know me, Catherine. I can talk about almost anything related to art business.
Yes.
I love it. You all are delightful. I'm happy to be on here anytime.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
So I will look forward to starting on Wednesday. Yay.
Yay.
I look forward to having you in the class. And Cheryl, I look forward to you restarting that blog.
Well, it's going to be different now. I've, you know, kind of switched gears. But I've got such good articles that I can include in my new blog because I wrote some good stuff.
Exactly.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you so much, Allison.
I'm happy to be here.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, gosh, it's time to close again, Catherine.
Sure.
I bet you're excited about Wednesday, aren't you?
I am. I'm working on my... you know how that flutter goes in your stomach?
Yeah, like, ugh.
Okay, can I do this? I can do this.
I can do this. Yeah. Well, I'm so focused on the class I'm taking. I'm not adding anything else right now, but I might look at it in the future. You never know.
Yeah.
So anyway, we want to thank everyone for joining us on Art and Soul Radio. It's just, we wouldn't be here if we didn't have listeners, so thank you for supporting us. And next week, we have Stuart Cobley returning, and we had Stuart was one of our first guests on last fall, and he's the creator of the painting process, and he's just a delightful interview. But this time he's going to join us to share how his workshop benefits artists, not just anyone who wants to explore their creative potential, but particularly artists. He creates a space so you can connect with other artists as well as your inner artists and explore your process in your way. And I've done his workshop, oh gosh, I don't know, 4 or 5 times now, and it is just wonderful. I just can't say enough about it. And Catherine is also going to be sharing next week our color of the month, which is what, Catherine?
Color of blue, and that's a color for communicating. So, yes.
Yes.
Talk about the color.
It's going to be fun. Well, we invite you to tune in. Tell your friends about Art and Soul Radio.
And remember to let your unique creative brilliant... I'm tongue-tied. Let me start again. And remember to let your unique creative brilliance shine.
And
just
say
yes
to your creative,
spirit. Hey, we're
bye-bye.
All here. Bye-bye.
For joining Art and Soul Radio. To contact Catherine and Cheryl, you're invited to visit www.artandsoulsite.com. That's www.artandsoulsite.com. They look forward to hearing from you, and remember, you are abundantly creative today and every day.